the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPALASLASLAACRRRMMHA. What's in my opiate? Something A for opiates?
Oklahoma, where the winds come sweeping down the plain.
Wow.
Sorry, you just reminded me of it.
Or the French Foreign Legion.
Yep, we don't speak for gang members or criminals either. Although some
maybe
of us
were
gang members and criminals. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelley
and Mark, the solution.
Sweet. Are you going to jail if you can't stay clean and sober? Will you be fired from your latest gig? You aren't the only one. Diversified Intervention Group can help with a sober companion. Athletes, entertainers, executives, and others, don't let your careers and lives be over. DIG can help. Go to interventiontreatmentrecovery.org or call 909-559-9568 for help. We can custom match a companion to your specific need. Don't wait. Go to interventiontreatmentrecovery.org. Or call 909-559-9568 now.
Hi.
We're back. You see?
No,
I didn't say it.
And?
I didn't say welcome back.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Sweet. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we got to take care of some shout-outs first.
Show.
We have a shout-out to Fran and the Goodlettsville group. Hi, Fran. We miss you.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, Fran.
She's fantastic.
She is fantastic.
I posted pictures from Disney Fran.
Yes, I know. I saw that. And we also have a shout-out to Tushar. Is that it?
Tushar.
From the Bijoy Treatment Center in Dhaka, Bangladesh.
That's right.
Shout
Bijoy
out.
Means win.
Yes, it does. It sort of look. It could be, yeah, Bijoy. That's what it looks like. Bangladesh,
yes.
Baby. That's
B-I-G-O-Y.
Where I got my shirts from.
J-O-Y.
Sweet. And?
Okay. I'm moving on to the first story now.
Up.
This story is from Robert. After a very long time of Britain being the pint capital of the world, the traditional pint of beer now has a challenge as the government has approved a smaller measure law.
Why would you want to do that?
The imperial pint is now a thing of the past. I mean, I suppose you get pints some places where they still serve pints, but now the government has officially approved that they can serve smaller amounts of beer and wine.
Why would you want to do that?
They can now serve up to as little as 2/3 of a pint, and I think, let's see. And 75 millimeters of wine rather than 125 millimeters.
Less filling.
Yeah, but why would anyone want that like that? Temperance women? What is it?
The science minister, David Willits, is quoted as saying, "We are freeing businesses so they can innovate and create new products to meet the demands of their customers."
Okay.
So then make a venti pint.
Don't ask me. I'm just
How much is
you.
In a pint? 16 ounces?
Yes.
A venti is 20. That would be better. Of course, I'm speaking from an alcoholic perspective. Who would want a small? Yo, I want less than a pint. Are these normies?
Less filling. Tastes
normies
great.
Aren't what keep the bar business going. It's drunks.
Okay, we're skipping the next story.
Okay.
Why?
Because it's too long. Change plan. Maybe we'll come back to it.
Okay.
Moving on.
It's like Walter Cronkite.
Okay, I like this one. It's also from Robert. Police and counselors in Essex, which is also in England, are considering an unusual move as a way of tackling the issue of antisocial drinkers who gather in the historic town center. They are creating a wet zone that would allow problem drinkers somewhere where they're free to consume alcohol without fear of being moved on by the police.
Sweet. The problem is they have to drink smaller amounts now.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, here's what I don't get. In the story, it says, the zones are popular in cities in the United States where they have been used successfully to keep drunks away from areas that are popular with visitors. And I'm thinking, what cities would that be?
What are they talking about?
We don't have wet zones in cities. I mean, maybe in, like, Vegas and the city of Vegas, like, you can walk
around
the street with
the entire city of Vegas is
a wet zone. But I can't think of anywhere that I've ever heard of in the
Mark,
U.S.
Mark, have you ever even heard of that before?
New Orleans.
Well, the entire city of New Orleans is a wet zone, too.
Pretty much.
Okay, so we got Nolens and Vegas.
Nolens?
I'm in Atlantic City.
You think Atlantic City, maybe? I don't know.
We're getting there, so there's a few wet zones.
We're filling them in.
Slowly but surely.
And, of course, everywhere in Fargo, because there's nothing else
there's
to do.
There's nothing else to do there.
That's true. Fargo, wasn't Fargo
I guess
like
Salem,
yeah,
Oregon's a wet zone, too. There ain't a lot to do there.
Okay, the next story is also, Robert was really busy this week.
Robert is coming in next week to be our boozy news person.
Yes, right. We're just going to have him sitting here in my chair.
And now, with the boozy news.
It's Robert. This story is from New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Go figure.
Well, it's from Louisiana, actually, but the story was on the New Orleans Times.
Louisiana.
Picayune. Governor Bobby Jindal announced today an emergency rule that makes it illegal to sell, use, buy, or manufacture the chemicals used in fake bath salts.
What?
Because...
Why is that, Shelley?
Apparently they sell this stuff as bath salts in various stores in New Orleans, and a packet of the product costs about $20.
Wait for it.
And some people are injecting or snorting it to experience a euphoria similar to the one associated with amphetamine, known on the streets as speed.
Wow.
There
However,
you go.
The psychotic side effects it produces are unusually severe.
I bet.
Yeah. Hey, let's go slam some bath salts.
Yeah. Let's go slam something. What do you want to slam? I don't care. Pick something. How about these bath salts? Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Wow.
The side effects of the chemical can last for days and resemble those of amphetamines, extreme paranoia, chest pains, hallucinations, suicidal thoughts, insomnia.
Wait, how much is this stuff? $20?
$20 a packet.
How much do you get for a packet?
It's a wallet-sized packet. The stuff is...
Wallet-sized packet.
Yeah, the stuff is
So this
called,
will last you for a while.
There are two brand names, Cloud9 and White Dove.
I want the Cloud9.
So in case anyone's looking for it, Shelly has given you the
That's right.
brand name so
oh,
you can
sorry.
Just order it and you have it sent to you.
I did it again.
Nice job. Shelly, is there a service that delivers
No, I'm not saying that. And I'm not giving you the names of the chemicals that
don't
are in
go
it
to,
either.
Don't,
yeah, don't go
to Cloud9BathSalts.com.
Yeah, don't
see where
don't
you
go,
can
go
find
to Google,
it.
Whatever you do.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, great. I'm always getting into trouble.
Shelly's
trying
so much
to better
kill
our
entire
the rest
listening
of us.
Audience.
Okay, the next story, moving on here, is from Sarah.
Shout out to Sarah. She's alive.
Don't have to shout very loud or very far.
A suspected thief called even more... This is from Glendora, California, by the way. A suspected thief called even more attention to himself after trying to rip off a Glendora Walmart store.
Oh, I know the store. There's only one,
There's only one in Glendora.
Clyde Pulmonis thought he had scammed Walmart. He said a surveillance video showed him grab a $300 computer, then head straight to the register and show a receipt. He had an old receipt. He went into the store, and he alleged that... Hold on, I got to turn the
that
page
he
here.
Bought it, and he's trying to return it?
Yes, that the computer he had with him was actually purchased with the old receipt. The clerk allowed the guy to leave. The suspect left holding his new computer in one hand and his old receipt in the other hand, and he headed straight for his car, but his car wasn't there because it had been repoed.
Nice.
The repo company had been following him around all day, waiting for him to leave the car long enough for them to break into it and get it.
Nice.
Beautiful.
So they called the Walmart security, had been tracking his behavior. They called the police.
What
the police,
a double whammy.
The police arrested him for burglary.
So he gets burglary and his car repossessed at the
same time.
So you had a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a bad day.
That's a great song, by the way.
this next one, we got to keep moving along here. Rob was also sent in by Robert. 30 members of the Russian hockey team were kicked off a Delta Airlines flight Thursday morning at the Buffalo Niagara International Airport because Russians were drunk.
I'll bet on vodka.
Newsflash.
Wow, all our Russian listeners just got pissed off and turned off.
It doesn't say there was vodka.
We have listeners in Moscow.
Well, howdy to them.
Well, howdy. Well,
they know at one time there were the Russians that were getting drunk. So
yeah, they say clearly it was.
Okay.
Fortunately, it wasn't an Irish team.
Okay, the next story. This one's really good. It's also from Robert.
Robert's got a new job.
I know. Robert's got a new job. This is the Horn Dog High story.
Horn Dog High?
Okay.
Is it a school?
I have a degree from there.
Yeah, Horn Dog
James
High.
James Madison. From James Madison High School, two teachers, Alini Brito and Cindy Morrow. Now, the janitor saw Miss Brito naked from the waist up with Miss Morrow kneeling between her legs in one of their classrooms.
Wow.
Singing the alma mater?
No. Yeah. Now, what was going on? The students were all off at some pep assembly or whatever.
Oh. Dude,
so they were alone in the classroom.
This is already awesome.
They were alone in Morrow's classroom. Morrow claims that she was about to give an insulin shot to...
I'm sure she was.
Brito.
Between her legs.
With her top off.
Of course.
Because she's diabetic, and they claim that she was having, and this is where their story gets tripped up, because they claim having.
Wait, not till now?
Well, because
everything was going fine.
Here's what comes. They're going to say insulin reaction.
Yes, she was having a low blood sugar and needed a shot, which any diabetic knows is not what happens when you have a low blood sugar.
Yeah, no, you take a shot when you have a low blood sugar, you're pretty much guaranteed to kill yourself.
You're going
to
kill her. No, she was supposed to be giving her sugar source or something like that. But you don't have to give somebody a candy bar with their top off.
Yeah, there's...
Although a lot of times we prefer it.
Yeah, well, you know what, Shelley?
What?
How come when I have a low blood sugar, you don't come in with your top off to give me a candy bar?
That's what Robert asked. He said, does Robert have the urge? He asked if you had the urge to take off all your clothes when you were having a low blood sugar. And I said, no, that
doesn't happen.
Why would
Robert want to know that about me?
Because obviously, Alini Brito has the urge to take off her clothes when she has a low blood sugar, and he wanted to know if all diabetics were like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking those names up on Google later to see what they look like.
Oh, you should, because you need to look at the pictures of these teachers, because even if the story wasn't good enough as it is, it's definitely, you would hit that kind of a story.
Oh,
so
really?
So you definitely need to look up the pictures.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Well, they go to, what's the name of the school again?
James Madison High School. Well, now Brito has been now terminated.
Why?
And the other one has, Morrow has, the decision is pending on what's going to happen with her.
I don't see any reason why. Is it a high school, right?
Yes, it's a high school.
The kids are, some of the kids are legal. It's okay.
Well, as long as they're both minors, then they're both legal, kind of, so.
No. These are teachers.
These are teachers.
But
teachers, but I mean the students themselves.
Yeah, I mean some of the students are over 18. Maybe it's a senior class, and it doesn't affect anything.
I don't know.
I wonder if the principal had him come into the office to talk to him.
Got the paddle out.
Smack.
Okay, next story. Two elderly men beat each other bloody with snow shovels during a fight in a residential neighborhood in Jönköping in south central Sweden.
South central Sweden. Yeah, the barrio.
Yeah, that's where you got the Svenska Krippas and the Svenska Bloods.
The two neighbors, one man in his 70s and the other in his 80s, disagreed on how to properly deal with removing snow from the area around their homes.
You have your grandchildren do it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how you
pay the neighbor kid.
Holy crap.
Apparently the argument escalated, and the next thing you know, they're whacking each other with their snow shovels. And both of them ended up in the hospital, although neither one was seriously injured.
Any alcohol involved here?
How hard can an 80-year-old swing a snow shovel?
I don't know.
You know what? Snow shovels are pretty big. I don't think you'd have to swing it that hard to really hurt someone. Yeah, you just hit them with it. It's going to do some damage. I haven't had a lot of snow shovel experience here in Laguna Beach, California.
No.
But,
but usually shoveling sunshine off the front porch.
Dude, 4 feet of sunshine this morning.
I know.
You know the thing, though, is like shovels, just shovels in general, Snow shovel's big. I mean, a regular shovel, you hit someone in the head with it, you're going to hurt them pretty good. I'd pay to see that, though. That's like MMA in
Sweden. It's the best they got.
Mixed right. Snow shovel arts.
Next story, also from Robert.
Oh, okay. Shelly.
What?
You're fired. What the heck?
The next show is all me.
Okay.
The next show is all me.
Okay. Robert, excellent job.
Yes, but now you can take a week off.
Especially the one with the chicks.
Yeah, he sent us that one. According to the American Journal of Health Promotion, whatever the heck that is, they did a study, another stupid study, that shows that heavy drinkers exercise about 10 more minutes per week than current moderate drinkers and about 20 minutes more per week than abstainers. So heavy drinkers actually exercise more than normies.
So they're talking about 12 ounces of lifting at a time.
That's right.
An extra episode of binge, this is a quote, an extra episode of binge drinking increases the number of minutes of total and vigorous physical activity per week for both women and men.
Trying to stand up.
They theorize that people who drink more exercise more to burn off the calories.
They're on dope.
Another stupid story.
Yeah.
More to shorten that. Ass.
Another stupid story. Ass. Yeah, you know what? I can't see that. I could see maybe if you said you had more aerobic activity because you're falling down and you're grabbing onto things and holding things and lifting yourself up off the ground, that kind of thing. But you're going to exercise more? I don't think
so. You burn off much more calories staggering than you do walking.
And clearly, that's what I'm saying. That's the kind of thing it would be.
Okay. Plus, you have extra gravity issues.
Well, you know what, too? You're more likely to get laid and you're more likely to burn up more calories.
Our last little tidbit comes from
Florida.
Comes from Robert in Florida, doesn't it?
No, it's not from Robert.
Okay.
Robert's not in Florida, is he?
I don't think so.
Okay, just checking.
Parts unknown.
Nearly 1 million South Floridians need food stamps to get by, an increase of almost 200,000 in the last year.
Send them to them.
The jump is more than the entire population of Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale that big?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
It's been a steady the quote is, it's been a steady increase occurring every month for the last 3 or 4 years, says Florida Department of Children and Family spokesman Joe Follick. It's obviously dramatic. Apparently they're the one state in the country where that kind of a jump in food stamp usage has been seen.
And it's the Everglades. You go out and hunt. Like right now, you go get all kinds of food. Fausto down there, our friend Fausto, would be living it up on bass every day.
That's right.
Florida's food stamp program provided more than $4 billion worth of benefits in the last year.
It's great for the economy.
Yeah. Sweet.
And that's the end of the boozy news.
Or the booze news not fit for booze in the case of a couple of those.
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Sweet. We're back. Shelly had a topic.
Loss and recovery. This is actually a topic.
I didn't realize we were going to do a show on the economy.
This is actually a topic suggested by Fran.
I lost everything in sobriety. I lost everything in I lost everything in using, and I lost everything in recovery, and I
would imagine you handled it slightly differently.
No, I wet myself and sat in a corner.
Yeah? Perfect.
Wow.
That's probably not the loss we were talking about, though, is it?
Mm. That's one of them. I mean, it could be anything, but...
Okay.
Are we talking money? Are we talking family members? We're talking stuff?
Well,
we're talking relatives?
I lose my car keys a lot more now, but I think that might just be because I'm getting older.
You know, I never lose my car keys. They're always in my purse.
You're younger.
You know what?
No,
I always lose stuff because I smoked a lot of weed.
I'm not that much younger. I always just put them back in my purse when I'm done with them.
You're a lot younger.
I'm not that much younger.
He's older than I am, and you're a lot younger than I am. He's not that much older.
No.
He's only like 62.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, so Shelley, how would you like to attack the subject? What was your impression of it?
My impression of it would be loss of losing people. I mean, whether to death or they leave, they go out and you just don't see them again, or the first thing that came to my mind was Vahe.
Oh, our coffee maker.
Yeah, I mean, he was the first meeting that I ever secretaried, and he was the coffee maker there, and he was working really hard on staying sober, and he was just such a fun guy, and he was always upbeat, and he was always happy, and he didn't talk a lot about what was going on to people, and the things in his life overwhelmed him, and he committed suicide. And it just devastated
me. Well, he drank first.
Yeah, he committed suicide over the fact that he drank, because he felt so guilty about that.
Did he leave a note?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I wasn't privy to the note.
Oh, yeah, he did. And it devastated me. I mean, I was upset for weeks over that.
Now, how did you handle that, since we're talking about loss and recovery? There you go.
And I think that when you have a loss and recovery, though, you're a lot less likely to go out, because you tend to bulk up on your meetings. People, you know, when things are going really, really bad, everybody knows you got to stay close to the program and you have to be really careful. But when things are going really well, people tend to, you know, they're in a good mood, everything's going well. They don't think that the disease can get them, because they're in a good place. And that's when it does, because you're not paying attention, you're not watching out for it.
Now, how about this, Mark? Because I know. We're talking about someone in the program that goes out. Now, this person killed themselves. Clearly, as a sponsor, you've seen many of your sponsees go out. Do you feel that? I mean, obviously, they don't all die, but do you feel that a sense of loss when that happens?
No.
Nope. Kick him to the curb.
I don't. I mean, part of it is, you're around this program for a while.
I've literally seen hundreds and hundreds of people go out.
I'm shocked as you know what when they don't.
Because I'm shocked that I haven't gone out.
A little surprising, as a matter of fact.
Well, do you get like I mean, we've obviously seen hundreds and hundreds of people go out, but like, you don't ever get the thing like you work with someone for a while and you're pretty tight with them for a while. They do their inventory with them or something, and then they go out, and it's like this is someone that you invested a lot of time with.
No, you know, I had one guy that I sponsored, and he stayed sober for 7 years, and he died sober. I felt a bit of a sense of loss there.
Well, yeah. I mean, 7 years is a lot of investment for a sponsor.
Yeah, yeah. I deserved a lot more out of him.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Woo. That was bad.
Jeez. Now, yeah, Shelley, you've had a couple sponsees go out.
Like all of them?
And do you feel a loss at any of those or no?
Yeah, I think I do. Because I feel bad about the lost potential. You know, because I know that that person is going to, since they've gone back out, they've chosen a different path, and that path is going to lead them nowhere but down. And I know that. Eventually, it's going to get them.
Maybe they got well.
And, well, maybe.
Maybe they weren't alcoholic. You have one gal that you sponsored that you think may not have even been alcoholic.
Right. I have one gal that she actually hasn't gone out. So
I saw her the other day, as a matter of fact, at Starbucks, the meeting after the meeting.
But they had the potential to do really well in the program and for their lives to really turn around. Especially there were a couple of gals that, you know, they'd lost their kids, they'd lost their homes, they'd lost their jobs, they'd lost...
Yeah, talk about loss.
Yeah, they'd lost everything, and they still couldn't stay sober. But they had the potential to have done so much more. And it's that potential that bothers me, the loss of the potential.
How about loss of other things besides people going out?
Well, how about, Bruce, if you tell us about the sense of loss you feel when somebody you sponsor goes out?
Not so much.
Okay.
Not so much.
I was just curious because you were the one asking the question.
The thing is, it's not... I've added... Well, you know what? There's a couple of people that went out that... I don't know if I felt a sense of loss or if I felt a sense of exasperation. Knowing that it was right there in their hand and it's like there's... My opinion, I've known people that, you know, my good friend James lost a son in recovery. You know what? I can't imagine anything much being worse than that, than losing your kid in recovery. And it's like, I see people go out over really not much in comparison to something like that. And it exasperates me because I'm like, if other people can stay sober through these horrendously horrific events, you know, What justification is there for going out? And so it's, I don't know if it's a sense of loss or it's like, F, you know, what is the deal? Why does this happen? Why are you going out? Because, you know, it's just like this poor guy, Vahe. You know, he goes out over guilt because he drank. Well, geez, he drank before and he got sober. You know, okay, so he goes out. Okay, I did it. I'm not saying it's a good thing to do, but I did it.
You're supposed to drink. You're an alcoholic.
Yeah, it's just a guilt thing. You know, the other guy loses his kid and doesn't get loaded. So it's more exasperation than loss. If someone died, which none of them have died, of the guys I sponsored that went out as far as I know, I might feel loss if someone passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think it's more exasperation than anything else.
So, Bruce, you ever hear of somebody go out that you sponsored and they were such a pain in the ass you were relieved they were gone?
I've had guys that I don't sponsor anymore that I feel some sense of relief about. Okay. I mean, there's some people that are much more difficult to work with than others. The thing is, though, I wouldn't have stopped working with them for that reason.
No.
But there's people that are more challenging than others. There's no doubt about that. I'll tell you what, when I was new, I wouldn't have wanted to sponsor me. Hell no. I would have been one of those exasperating guys. How about you, Shelley? Anybody go out that you were kind of relieved? And please give us their name and what city they live in.
I'm not going to give you her name, but yes, I'm kind of relieved a little bit. Not that she's gone out. But it gets tiring to say the same thing over and over and have the
Is
same thing
Is this Suzette?
Happen.
I just made up that name. It's not a real person.
That's funny.
It does get a little frustrating to say the same thing over and over again, knowing that it's the right course of action and have the same thing happen over and over again. And have to bite your tongue every time you want to say, I told you so.
I just say, I told you so.
Mark would.
I know you would. I try not to say exasperating things like that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I experienced today, and this is kind of a weird thing because, as you guys know, I lost my brother back in November. And I've had a strange back and forth about this because he and I had a tumultuous relationship. But I'll tell you what, I was going through some stuff of his today because he had a box full of pictures and stuff. And I'm going to be giving it to my mom, but I wanted to make sure, you know, there was no...
Yeah.
Strange pictures or anything like that. And I got to tell you, as I was looking through the pictures and all these other things that he had in there, I was finding myself missing him. And I haven't really felt that lately. And it was a very strange emotional thing for me. So I have to see as this plays on, you know, how I will react to this loss as time goes on. Because it made it for a very interesting day for me today.
Yeah.
How about final words on the subject? Shelly?
Oh, gosh, I don't know if I have any.
Okay, who's the leader? I'm in the bag.
I think with any kind of loss, whether you're in recovery or not, you just put one foot in front of the other, and you just keep doing the next indicated thing. I think that that's what normies do. I think that's what we're supposed to learn how to do. I think too often when something hits us over the head like that, we tend to
knee-jerk reaction.
You think that's what normies do?
Yeah. They just keep going.
They're nothing special, you know. They freak out just like we do.
Yeah, but they don't tend to go into a tailspin of drugs and alcohol.
No, they do other. They go around their credit cards maxed out and stuff like that.
Yeah, but is that a normie or is that a compulsive spender?
No, it's a normie that had that lost something.
They should buy us stuff.
Exactly.
If you're going to go into a spending frenzy, buy crap and send it to us.
Yeah. I mean, we're not that different.
Yeah, what are your final words?
We're not that different. I just said them.
Perfect.
I need more final words than that?
No. I don't know. My final words are similar to what Shelley said. As with anything else, with any kind of loss or with anything going on in your program, you know what? It's all about don't drink or use no matter what and do what's right in front of you.
See, those would have been my final words if I'd been able to get them out.
Well, that's good. They're good words for anything. I mean, it's kind of like the don't drink or use no matter what. No matter what our topic is, if our final words are don't drink or use no matter what, we're pretty flippin' safe.
That's our default button.
Yeah, it's pretty flippin' safe. Shelley?
Yes?
Who are our friends?
Well, we have friends at In the Rooms, an online recovery community, sort of like the Facebook of recovery, where you can go and put up your profile, meet people in the A of your choice, go to online chats and meetings. You can... Why are you giving me the wave?
Well, because your volume seemed...
I'm talking straight into my mic. What
are
you
expecting? Well, it's a lot higher now.
Yikes.
Sweet.
Now I forgot where I was. At any rate, go to intherooms.com and listen to our embedded player on Friends of Recovery 101 while you surf the site, and it's all free.
Sweet. Mark, do we have any friends in the city of Bromance?
Freezing their asses off tonight.
I'll bet they are.
So we have Bruce the Other White Meat at 12stepgazette.com. Go up and read his fine publication. You can go to his site. You can get it emailed to you. You can... get the subscription prescription and have it mailed to you eventually.
And so you can get a franchise.
I know that's the word you were looking for.
Do it in your own town.
That's right.
So check him out. Go check that out. And he wants to expand all over the globe. Maybe Tushar in Bangladesh can do one.
There you go.
You know what?
What?
You guys malign the post office most egregiously. And I would have you know.
How do I malign the post office?
Because he keeps talking about how long it's going to take to get there if you have a snail mail.
Hey.
It doesn't take that long. It takes like 3 days.
Hey.
It doesn't take that long.
I want to point out something here to everyone that's listening.
Oh.
Shelley says, you guys malign the post office. I go, how do I malign the post office? She goes, well, Mark says.
Because you've also said it too.
I rarely even
you
do that.
Did the put it on the back of a burrow and slap it on the ass.
Burrex.
You have done it.
Yeah, but that's burrows are fast.
I'm just saying that the post office does for a very low rate does a very good job.
I don't remember saying they didn't.
I'm just saying.
What could be more steadfast and straight to you than a burrow? And besides, it's Burrex. That's a FedEx thing. That's a FedEx joke.
Anyway, moving on.
We've got carrier
pigeon. Eye roll.
You know that
roll.
If the post office hadn't shown up and delivered Kris Kringle all those letters in Miracle on 34th Street, we wouldn't have
Santa
would have
gone
today.
To jail and
right.
stayed in jail.
So I respect the post office.
Sweet.
Circa 1934.
Sweet. we've got email addresses where you can send. Apparently, Robert has it because he sends us a lot
think?
Of stuff. We can send, that's an interesting thing. We can send rants, raves, topics, boozy news, and all that kind of stuff to recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, and recovery101radio@hotmail.com. And there's videos at youtube.com/easylookingyoutube.com/recovery101rule62. Shelley.
Killed over Rum Club.
That would be the answer to the question, who's the lead out music by? Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Oh, goody.
Oh, man.